Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, and I thank you so much for joining us on the program as we are going to, as usual, bring people on the program who are trying to change the world in their own little way to make it a better place, to make it a healthier place. Yes, we're going to be talking about health and your wellness, if you will, the alternative medicine cabinet, hundreds of ways to make changes of your health naturally. And that's usually the best way. I've not been a big advocate of medications, but then there are times when you don't have much of a choice. And today we're going to be talking with the author of this book, Kathy Groover, and she is in studio with us, which is kind of nice. I like having guests in studio, looking face-to-face at people and talking about the subject of the day. Thank you for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Richard. Happy to be here.
This is an issue that is near and dear to a lot of people's hearts because they're faced with numerous health conditions and challenges, if you will.
Yes.
Whether it be probably, I'm going to guess, at the top of the list is going to be the issue of weight. Either they feel like they don't have enough, they look in the mirror and I'm skinny, I need to eat more. Mostly that's young women. Or they're heavy, they want to lose weight, and that, of course, then affects their appearance, how they see themselves in the mirror, let alone how they think other people see them. And there's a category of six things, or how I see myself, how you see me, how I see you seeing me, how they see you seeing me, and on and on and on. But these are serious conditions that kind of hold us back. We get stuck in the health issues, and we can never move forward into our purpose in life. You've moved forward into your purpose in life, and that's helping people through the book, The Alternative Medicine Cabinet.
Absolutely. And, you know, we see this huge epidemic of obesity right now. I mean, they're actually calling it an epidemic. And this epidemic of just being so heavy is leading us to so many other illnesses like diabetes, heart disease, cancer is also linked to being vastly overweight. So if we can control what we're putting in our mouths and we can control some of the way the food is processed and the way we're eating, we can help stave off those diseases and not suffer through them.
Hmm. You know, I was thinking, and I've mentioned this to guests on numerous programs, about the regenerative qualities of the human body.
Mm-hmm.
I use the example of human skin because it seems to be the most resilient. I've got scratches and so forth on my arms, and within a couple of weeks, they'll be healed over. And if there's a scar, that's the only evidence. If there is no scar, then you'd never know anything happened.
Right.
So the skin bounces back very easily.
Mm-hmm.
Other parts of the body don't. And so my question has always been, from a cellular level, why is it that the skin cells can do that and the other cells in the other parts of the body and the other organs and so forth, why can't they regenerate to healthy tissue, i.e., I could regenerate if I had heart conditions, heart disease or some malady, I could regenerate the cells because our human body, the trillions, change roughly every 7 years,
mm-hmm.
all of them. Not just a select few. I could have a healthy body in 7 to 10 years.
Right. And that's one of the things they're trying to do with all the stem cell research is stem cells can turn themselves into whatever cell we need. So it'll help us regenerate some of the organs. The liver is great at regenerating itself up to a certain point.
Mm-hmm.
The skin does that, I think, because that's our only barrier between our inside and our outside. And people think it's strictly to keep stuff out, but remember, it's also to keep stuff in. I mean, if we didn't have skin, organs would just go flying around the place. That would just be a mess.
I'm done with some force field.
We don't have that yet. They're working on that too. But I mean, it would be great if we could tap into using those stem cells to regenerate organs in the body. That's one of the things they're really trying to do right now.
Well, it's certainly something that I've asked oncologists about in regard to the cancer mm-hmm. cell and that aspect, that particular attribute of the cancer cell, that it just regenerates to beat the band, the same cell, and if you want to refer to a cancer cell as healthy,
right.
If it's living and it's thriving, in its respect, it's healthy.
Absolutely.
Now, you also have you have an alphabet behind your name, MS, LMT, RN, NHC. You're also, you have a doctorate in traditional naturopathy as well.
I do. I'm addicted to the studying. It's the more I read and the more I learn, the more I can pass that information on and empower people to take better care of themselves. So I'm not only a medical massage therapist, I have my master's in natural health, like you said, my doctorate as a traditional naturopath, and RM stands for Reiki master. So I do Reiki, which is a hands-on healing.
Chocoré. Anyway.
Thank you.
I know, too. Interesting stuff. It's something that we are going to talk about in this program. And as these programs tend to do, take on a life of their own, we'll probably address many people's concerns as we continue on the program. If the whim should strike you to give us a call at 805-564-1290, would you be open to maybe answering a query or two?
Absolutely. If it's in my scope of practice and I can answer it, I'd love to help.
I don't know is okay to answer.
Right. And I'll be more than willing to say that.
Absolutely. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. And again, we are talking with Kathy Groover. She is the author of The Alternative Medicine Cabinet. Mine's carved into a tree, and it's a roll-up window as opposed to a mirrored glass cabinet. And we'll be back in just a moment. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true.
Remember the stories your family used to tell?
July, I got married 1913 when my father and my uncle came from Italy.
When was the last time you listened to the songs of your youth?
Very swinging sound here in the Bilhart Underground. That's Wild Things.
Want to hear those voices and music again? Fast Forward can help. Fast Forward Audio Communications can transfer your records and tapes to CD so you can hear them again for the first time.
Okay, stand by. They want to get you a mail road right now until they go. No, go. Stand by.
You're listening to a live transmission of the voice of astronaut Walter Chirac.
Those memories are priceless and are great to hand down to the next generation. Keep those memories alive. Call 805-708-9804.
That's the greatest thing that I ever heard.
Fast Forward. It's the right direction for preserving your family memories. Just call 805-708-9804.
I present to you three of the fiercest subjects ever assembled in the Cage of Doom. First, the brain-wrenching behemoth Algebra 2, weighing in at a mind-boggling 800 pounds. Foreign languages! The multilingual international sensation capable of tossing you clear across the Atlantic. And finally, biology. More ferocious than formaldehyde, she'll dissect you one chromosome at a time. Who among you will step up to their challenge?
Yeah, I'll do it.
Me too.
I'm in.
Sign me up.
Take on the tough classes now. You need them to prepare for college. Find out which classes you need at knowhowtogo.org.
Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation for Education, and the Ad Council.
Keeping all that fear inside. I understand how trouble haunts you.
It haunts me too.
Yes, and I do know how you feel. Oh, come on, walk with me. Talk with me. Tell me your story.
Tell me your story, new paradigms for a new world, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. We come your way every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific time. We stream live on the internet at richarddugan.com. We archive the programs at richarddugan.com, the radio shows page, and you can also check out the schedules page to see who we have coming up in coming weeks. We're coming up on 3 years. Which is kind of astounding. September of 2010, it will be 3 years that we will have been broadcasting this program, which is 1/10 of the time that I've been interviewing overall. And it's just been an extraordinary journey, and we certainly encourage you to share in that journey by going and checking out the radio programs, checking out what people have to say, check out their websites. We have links. We have links to their websites. We have links to our guest, Kathy Groover's website. As a matter of fact, it goes straight to the page where your book is. And the book is The Alternative Medicine Cabinet, and we encourage you to check that out. What What precipitated the book? You're obviously curious. You have all these letters behind your name because you're studying, and obviously you have not just a desire to help people to be healthy, but you also have a genuine curiosity of things.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I have a massage practice here in Santa Barbara, mm-hmm. and I found that while I was doing massages with people, they'd start to ask me health questions. They mm-hmm. knew I was studying. They knew I have a vast library of books. And I found that I was enjoying so much sharing that information with them.
You enjoy being an oracle is what you're saying.
Exactly. Well, I love being an educator. I actually was teaching at the business college for a while, and I really liked sharing knowledge and empowering people to make changes. And I found that I could do that with one person at a time on the table, or I could do that with 10 or 12 people at a time in the classroom, but I wanted to reach more. Mm-hmm. So I have been writing articles for years, and I thought, you know, I really need to do a book, and I do a lot of public speaking, so the book was also a good tool for that. So I just wanted to have a bigger reach than, you know, a handful of people. So that was the sort of the impetus behind writing the book.
When did you know that this was the direction that your life was going to take as far as, we'll call it an alternative health practitioner or wellness practitioner?
Boy, that's a good question. Even as a kid, I would sit behind my dad on long car trips and I'd massage his neck so he wouldn't get a headache. Mm-hmm. And I was the one that everyone ran to in high school and said, oh, can you rub my back? And, you know, I was a theater major and, you know, there's no play that's complete without people rubbing each other's backs backstage. So it was just always a part of my life. My mom died when I was young. She had cancer, and I remember her getting very much stuck in the Western medicine paradigm of cut it out, radiate it, put chemo on it, mm-hmm. and it wasn't working. And even back then, as a mid-teenager, I remember thinking, gosh, isn't there something else? Meditation or acupuncture or, and she wasn't open to it. So mm-hmm. I think even if we would have been able to find that in Pittsburgh in the mid-80s, I don't know that she would have done it. But I even thought, I mean, there has to be other options here.
Mm-hmm.
So I started studying, and it's just been part of my life since.
Yeah. In regards to chemo, I remember hearing, and I think it was Farrah Fawcett before she passed. In her documentary, she was sitting around chatting, and the question came up about chemo, mm-hmm. and she was pressing the oncologist about chemo. Why? Is this going to do any good? Is this really going to help? And somewhere along the way, I remember hearing the phrase or the comment, no, we just do it so that the patient has something to do.
Right.
Now, if it helps or doesn't help, I don't know. I know that my wife's been through chemo back in 2001.
Mm-hmm.
She is free and clear of it, has been ever since. However, the chemo does damage to the body that goes on after for years after.
And that's the problem with the chemo is it's not a targeted therapy, and they're looking for things that they could maybe put right into the tumor or right into the spot where the problem is. But unfortunately, the chemo, it kills everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's bad enough that you have the, you know, the physical ramifications of that with the hair loss, and you go kind of gray, and you have trouble eating oftentimes. I have seen numerous people go through chemotherapy, and oftentimes, it's one of those heroic measures of, well, this might give you 6 more weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And I recently had a client, who passed away from pancreatic cancer. And she was in her 80s. And when she told me she had the cancer, I said, you know, what are you doing? Are you doing any treatments? What are the doctors offering you? And she said, they wanted to do chemo. She said, but you know what? I'm in my mid-80s. And I would rather go out dignified when it's my time, rather than trying to prolong my life for another 6 weeks where I'm miserable, I can't eat, my hair falls out, and I'm sitting in my own poo. So she chose to absolutely not do any treatment, and she had a very peaceful death. She didn't have pain. I mean, she would take pain meds, of course, mm-hmm. for her own comfort.
Sure.
But she chose not to do this heroic medication in an effort to give herself just a couple more weeks where she didn't feel good anyway. So.
And on the one hand, we could take a look at the environmental factors that are causing the cancer, but then even as an alternative wellness practitioner, you also take a look at the more metaphysical, if you will, mm-hmm. Reasons why we have these various conditions, or some would even say why we choose them, what's going on. And of course, there are those who say that depending upon what the condition is, I've got a strange condition in my left hand
mm-hmm.
that's associated with these various emotional blocks, et cetera, et cetera. Tell us a little bit about that in that regard.
I've done a lot of studying, and I'm a huge, huge supporter of the mind-body connection. And one of the myths about that is, you know, I've listened to lectures from Carolyn Mace or Louise Hay, and people will think that they're being told that they, quote, caused their own cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be very offensive to somebody, especially someone who's suffering from cancer, or if you've just lost someone from cancer. We don't want to think that we have sort of thought ourselves into being sick.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a huge contributing factor with the mind-body. And like you said, there are environmental factors and things like genetically modified foods and pesticides and additives and outgassing of everything. I mean, we're living in a carcinogenic environment. We can't deny that. But I also do see a huge emotional component to that. And there are a lot of people doing research right now on what they're calling the type C personality. There's the type A, which is me, the very driven, mm-hmm. ambitious, anal retentive. There's the type A. There's the type B, which is a little more relaxed, a little more, okay, well, live and let live, what happens, happens. And they're seeing sort of a pattern that they're calling type C, which is cancer prone. Now, of course, if you fall into that category, you're not destined to get cancer. It's not your fault. You're not doing it to yourself. But they are seeing similar qualities, especially among breast cancer sufferers. A giving to the point where you're not getting anything back.
Yeah.
There tends to be a huge loss. I think the study I just read was that after a huge loss of whether a divorce or losing a parent, the incident of breast cancer goes up in those people in the next 6 months. So there seems to be this almost heartbreaking, you know, I'm making this motion, which is pointless on the radio, but there's that giving where you're actually taking your hands away from the chest,
yeah.
as if you're offering something.
Mm-hmm.
And I have seen a connection between people's emotional state and some of the losses they've suffered and mm-hmm. where the cancer is in their body. So, I mean, it's really interesting.
Yeah. And that it's a broad study. There's no question about it.
Yes.
I mean, people have been researching this for literally thousands of years. I mean, I've talked with folks on this program who say, well, going back to the rishis of, or, you know, this particular group, religious or otherwise, spiritual practices and teachings, or Asian in China and so forth, mm-hmm. We study the meridians and the energy patterns and right. all of those types of things. And there is so much to health and wellness in the body. I mean, do you feel, even with all of the letters behind your name, that you still only scratch the surface?
Oh, absolutely. And it's so fascinating because there's so many different aspects of alternative medicine. And, you know, I have very good friends who are acupuncturists and chiropractors, and I don't do that. I mean, I know of chiropractic. Certainly, I love my chiropractor. Acupuncture is fabulous. And when I was studying Chinese medicine, because I had to do that for my master's, I didn't do acupuncture, but I had to do a couple books, you know, book studies on it. I believe it. It's a fabulous modality, and it just didn't click for me. It didn't zing me mm-hmm. the way something like herbal therapy or homeopathics did. So I think everybody has this sort of preference of which path on the alternative medicine that they mm-hmm. take. I'm going to my naturopath conference next week, where there's, you know, one guy who is so into minerals and one gal who's so into amino acids and someone who's so into herbs. Everyone has sort of chosen their path and they become an expert in that and they educate, because we can't know everything. I mean, just like our regular MD can't know everything, neither can, you know, somebody that practices the type of health care that I do.
I know some people too will rely an extraordinarily they will rely greatly on their intuition.
Mm-hmm.
The individual who has the condition or health challenge, as well as the practitioner who has been asked to come in and facilitate some level of treatment and so forth. And I also know some people, such as yourself, who do not say, I don't do anything. It's entirely up to you as to whether or not anything gets done. In other words, you do the healing, not the practitioner.
Right, I agree with that. I mean, there are so many people that go to the health food store and they grab, you know, 4,000 pounds worth of supplements and they go home and they do this self-treating, mm-hmm. assuming that because it's natural, it's safe. And that's one myth about herbs that is just not true.
Yeah.
I mean, herbs are a chemical compound.
That's right.
They're going to react in your body. They're going to react with other prescriptions. They're going to react with some foods. So I really caution you, especially with the herbal therapies, seek out somebody qualified, or at least at the very least ask the person at the health food store and make sure you are being safe with your remedies. But I mean, people in my position, we act as a facilitator,
mm-hmm.
and people call me a healer and my company's Healing Circle Massage, and I feel like I just put the body in a condition where it can do the healing itself. The body has the ability to do that with the right tools, just like a seed has the ability to grow if you give it the right soil, the right water, the air, the fertilizer. Yeah.
The right combinations will do wonders, but the wrong combinations, be it an overabundance of or combinations of that are contraindicators of one another,
right,
creating more problems, like the pills that we see advertised on TV. I have to say that a few years ago, one of my favorites, it wasn't actually a commercial that I saw, but I had heard about a gentleman who saw one of these commercials for a heart condition that he had. So he went to his physician, and the physician was going to give him a prescription for this medication. And before he filled the prescription, he just happened to see the ad on TV, and it ran down the problems or the contraindicators of this particular medication. One of them was for the very condition that he was taking the medication for. And I'm sitting here, and I see that all the time.
Yeah, it's extraordinarily common, and I have had clients come to me, and of course, I'm not that type of doctor. I'm not qualified to ever tell someone to stop taking a medication.
Right.
But I will sit there with them with the vast list of prescriptions that they're taking, and I've literally had people hand me a list of 22 things.
Oh, yeah.
That's crazy. And in drawing lines between, what shouldn't be combined, according to the prescription drug reference, and things on the internet, and different side effects. And I mean, this one gal was on antidepressants, to which the side effect is anxiety, and she was on anti-anxiety pills for which the side effect is depression.
She should be balanced there.
Right. Well, it wasn't working. And I see so many people that blindly take a prescription. And my dad had bypass surgery. They found that his artery was clogged with calcium, not cholesterol, but calcium. The Roto-Rooter would not work. It was calcium, which is actually really common with people with clogged arteries. The first thing they did after his surgery, which went very well, was give him Lipitor. And I said, Dad, what, you have low cholesterol? Yeah. Well, then why are you taking Lipitor? Well, it's protocol. But you don't have low cholesterol. Well, but it's protocol. And they put him on this, even though he's never had a cholesterol problem. And what was in his arteries wasn't cholesterol anyway. But that's the protocol. That's the piece of paper that says, A equals B equals you take these pills.
Right.
My belief is his cholesterol dropped and he started having muscle issues. He started having weird muscle tears. And his doctor kept assuring him, no, it's not the Lipitor, but what's he going to say? Oh, yeah, whoops, you shouldn't be taking it. And I see so much of that, people taking things that they don't need to be taking or have these extreme side effects. And these commercials on TV drive me crazy. It's borderline offensive to me.
Well, that along with that, it's also interesting to me that odds are the ones that are leading these corporations, that are heading up these corporations, are probably boomers from the 60s and early 70s, the drug culture, and then the song, one pill makes you large, one pill makes you small. And now they've got the purple pill and the blue pill and the green pill and the yellow pill and the orange pill, and they're pushing these pills now.
Right.
And they were, who knows, popping them back in the 60s or 70s. I mean, it's about that time of, they were in their 20s and maybe early 30s and even late teens.
Right.
So it's about that point where, you have the CEOs that are running these companies that were in that crowd.
Well, and not to...
And that mentality.
Well, of course. Well, and the mentality has become the quick fix.
Yeah.
It's, let me take this pill and let me feel better tomorrow, as opposed to, let me take this herb and have to wait 4 or 5 weeks. Or let's experiment with 2 or 3 different homeopathics to see what's actually going to address the condition I have. And I'll be perfectly honest with you. I know how to naturally get rid of menstrual cramps.
Mm-hmm.
But if I wake up at 2 a.m, I'm turning to the Advil. I'm not waiting for the herb. I'm not drawing a sitz bath. I'm not doing I'm going to grab some Advil.
Sure.
There are certainly times we want the quick fix. I have to take thyroid supplement every day because I had my thyroid removed. My dad's diabetic. Thank God he has insulin as an option. So Western medicine is not all evil.
Yeah, you're not looking to throw the baby out with the bathwater here.
But I think we have to find a place of balance, and we have to start taking responsibility for our own health care and to get to the point where you're 200 pounds overweight because of the diet and lack of exercise, and then to simply try to take pills to either lose that weight or stave off those diseases that's now causing. I mean, we have to take responsibility for that and change some of our lifestyle habits, which is hard. It's very hard to do that.
I have had a diagnosis of a torn meniscus, which is a tissue in the knee. But I have 2 tears, one on the inside, one on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
They have now. This is why I like the physician that I went to see. He looked at it and he checked. We sat and talked for a few minutes. He says, "How are you feeling? How's the knee?" I says, "Well, it's a little tender, but it's feeling all right." He says, under the present circumstances, he says, if it ain't broke, I ain't going to fix it. And what he means by that is, if you're not in really, really bad pain where you need painkillers, we're not going to touch it. Because when I go in there and I do the surgery, you're going to be in pain, okay? So if you're there, let's do it. If you're not, right. And I will tell you, even at this very moment, as I flex my knee under the counter, mm-hmm. it's great.
Right.
Now, they told me that there is just enough blood flow in that area to where it is possible, mm. not likely, but possible, that those tears could heal. I don't know. Maybe they did.
Right.
It's very interesting how I've sort of focused on this area for a while, mm-hmm. and now it's like, oh, I'm being careful.
Right.
I'm not banging my knee in defense posts anymore. But when our attention is drawn to something like that, depending upon our perspective, it's like you were saying, quick fix, or can I do the long-term, more natural process that will hopefully also be more long-lasting.
Right. And it's funny that you mentioned the meniscus, because I had my meniscus surgically repaired.
Mm-hmm.
Mine was shredded. I've been dancing since I was 5.
Right.
I was constantly banging it on the floor. I was doing point. I was doing, dance class. It was just ripped to shreds. And after I got the diagnosis, I was doing the glucosamine and chondroitin, and I was doing the BFNC, and I was doing Reiki, and I was doing acupuncture, and I was having the massage, and I finally turned to my chiropractor, and I said, look, is this going to get better? And he goes, no. And I was in pain. I mean, I couldn't go up and down stairs. I couldn't dance. I couldn't. And that's when I said, okay, you know what? Now I know how it's going to get better. The doctor's going to fix it.
Yeah.
It was one of the best things I did.
Yeah.
And I'm really, I do everything in my power to avoid surgery.
Mm-hmm.
I've had 3 surgeries, all of which were definitely necessary. But I also did everything in my power before that because
yeah.
they weren't life-threatening. You know, you got a gunshot wound. Please don't call me for an herb. Please go to the emergency room. But if it's something that you don't, that isn't that urgent, see if you can't take care of it naturally. And the fact that you have been able to is fabulous, and
yeah.
that you're not suffering in pain from it.
Yeah. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan. My guest is Kathy Groover. Her book is The Alternative Medicine Cabinet. And I like that as opposed to we actually have 3 medicine cabinets in our bathroom. And each one of them has a bunch of different stuff in it. And I'm not sure exactly what all is in any of the 3. Mm. But nonetheless, we do tend to do that. We tend to fill our medicine cabinets with stuff, whether it's lotions and this and that, or medications, prescription drugs,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so forth, toothpaste, toothbrush, those types of things. And there comes a point when you might want to take a look into your medicine cabinet and see, what in the world am I holding on to? Because there's, again, going back to the metaphorical aspects or metaphysical aspects of sort of diagnosing, if you will, or looking at where you are health-wise and physically, what are you holding on to in your medicine cabinet? Because I've even heard it said that when your thoughts are so focused on a particular thing, you tend to manifest that, positive or negative.
Of course.
Well, there's a physical attribute to that, and that is, in this case, the medicine cabinet. What's in there? Mm-hmm. What do you have in there? And I wonder if you were to take, in our case, all 3 medicine cabinets and dump them into a bucket and just slowly go one thing at a time. Oh, yeah, all right, I need the deodorant. Okay, I need mm-hmm. the toothpaste. I need the Q-tips and so forth. I don't know what this is. Throw it out.
Absolutely.
I don't know what this is. Throw it out, kind of thing. Or this is nearly empty and I still don't know what this is.
Well, there's the whole concept of not only feng shui, but also people who, you know, have written numerous books about clutter in general.
Yeah.
And that if you have clutter in your house, you're going to have clutter in your mind. And, you know,
but
we do. We tend to hoard things. You know, we go to a hotel and we get the little bottle of shampoo and we think, oh, we'll use that someday. And the next thing you know, 20 years later, you look in your cupboard.
You have a little gelatinous container.
20, 30, you know, different bottles yes. of these little things that you're not going to, you know, put it in one big bottle. I don't know.
Well, I was just thinking the same thing. But then again, you might have those contraindications. Your hair may fall out.
Oh, well, geez.
Or turn it green.
I hope not. Yeah. But no, going back to what you said about what we focus on grows, I mean, I use the analogy of a search engine on the computer. I
yeah.
mean, our minds are this vast computer that we're still not even sure how it works. And for what we're looking for, you type that into that search engine,
mm-hmm.
whether if you want to learn about cats, you type in the word cats. If you want to learn about dogs, you type in the word dogs. If you want to learn about hamsters, you don't type in gazelle.
Right.
You're not going to find it. And people get so frustrated that they're, you know, either suffering from a lack of money or a relationship or their health. But I see that's what we're programming ourselves to find. I mean, we say things like, oh, I'm broke, or oh, nobody loves me, or this donut's going right to my butt. Or, I mean, we're programming
yeah.
the body to do that. And I'm a huge proponent of affirmations
yeah.
and changing those words.
I just turned 50,
mm-hmm.
Which is astounding to me. that I don't take my dad's position that I didn't expect to live this long, but I'm sure glad I'm here, because he said that when he was 70, and he'll be 79 this year. But I shared that with someone the other day, and I said, you know, just rhetorically, I wonder what that means. And this gentleman leaned into me and says, it means you're old. And I'm going, oh, geez. No.
Mm-mm.
I it's like, are you kidding me?
Yeah. And we not only program ourselves, we program other people that way. I tend to be thin. I have always been thin. I'm one of those lucky people. I can eat whatever I want. I don't gain weight.
Are you just the right size and shape for who you are supposed to be?
Well, that's true. But what's interesting is I've had so many people say, oh, well, as you get older, you're going to gain weight. And I said, no. And they said, wait till you hit 30. Okay, I'm past 30. Oh, well, wait till you hit 35. I'm past 35. Well, wait till you hit 40. And it's like, what, is this multiple choice? I mean, why do I have to gain weight?
Yeah.
I stay active. I watch what I eat. I have a great metabolism. I'm a fast metabolizer. Why do I have to gain weight? Just like people say, oh, wait till you hit menopause. You're going to have these problems too.
Yeah.
It's like, but you don't have to.
No.
And I think those expectations and those belief systems of, oh, my mother had a terrible menopause, or, oh, you know, once I have menopause, I'm going to get hot flashes and I'm not going to be able to have sex and I'm going to gain weight and I'm going to have the blah, 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 blah. I don't think it has to be that way. There's certain physiological things, certainly, that's happening. But again, it goes back to the programming your mind.
In light of the book and the DVD, The Secret, and this whole thing, I started thinking about the ways in which I used to look at men, and specifically older men in their 70s, 80s, and so forth, and specifically, narrowing this down, to the gentlemen who were walking around with canes, and they were hunched over. And I used to say, I'm not going to be like that.
Right.
And I thought, when I got into The Secret and all of that kind of stuff, I'm realizing I need to change that that imagery and say I'm going to walk upright and proud with a straight back and my head held high so my hat doesn't fall off, and so forth. And I have to tell you that in regards to my knee, for example, same thing. You know, I actually felt a sense of relief and release in meeting with the orthopedist.
Yep.
Who said, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, because at least I knew I had the opportunity if I needed it.
Right.
But I didn't have to take it.
Right. And that's a great place to be, and I think we're faced with those types of options all the time that we're not even aware of. I mean, we have the ability to eat differently. We have the opportunity to make different lifestyle choices. Mm-hmm. And I think it's sometimes a matter of education. I did a lecture last week where I went through the 10 things to add and subtract for better health. And one of the things that I really get on about is soda. Mm. Diet or regular, it's just not good for you. There's no nutritional value. Artificial sweeteners, horrible. High fructose corn syrup has a whole litany of problems. And I had one gal who, I mean, she seriously never thought about it. She never thought about the fact that this was not a healthy choice for her. Mm-hmm. And she said, you know, I'll tell you, I'm horribly addicted and I'm probably not going to give it up, but at least I now know what some of these side effects are of the things. I mean, they're linking not only artificial sweetener, but also high fructose corn syrup to obesity.
Mm-hmm.
So even the diet things we're drinking and eating are causing us to be heavier. That's not a good diet plan.
When we went to Ireland the second time, it was the month before we left. It was in January, and I am a big soda drinker. I mean, I'm not as big now as I was then, a big soda drinker. Mm-hmm. I'm not nearly as... I've never been big. I was trying to find a way.
I got it, yes. We're there.
Anyway, and so it wasn't that I've never been on a diet, and I've never actually consciously tried to lose weight. Mm-hmm. But what I noticed was my jeans were now fitting a lot tighter than they usually did, and I couldn't even get to the one belt loop that I wanted to because I couldn't get there. And of course, you know, Amrita, she very much into all of this, the herbal medicine, the homeopathy, naturopathy, hellness. I mean, we're both Reiki masters. And I mean, again, we don't have the alphabet behind our names, but nonetheless, we have that mindset.
Yes.
And she suggested, well, why don't you get off the sodas? Try something else. And so I did. And by the time we left for Ireland, my jeans started to fit again. And it was, as a matter of fact, they became very loose when we were over in Ireland because I was drinking mostly Guinness, which personally, while we were there, I thought, this is mother's milk is what this is. It's okay for you. But I have learned that when my jeans start to get tight, I'm consuming a little too much. I need to back off.
Right. Well, and it's interesting. Here's something else we don't even think about with soda. And I've had numerous people who need to lose weight, who are really trying to lose weight, who the second they stop drinking the soda, within weeks they lose 5 or 10 pounds.
Exactly.
It's empty calories.
I carry 50-pound bags of chicken feed, probably 50 to 75 feet, 75 feet, downhill to our chicken coop. And then I offload it and I put it in another.
Right.
And I'll go back up the hill 50 pounds lighter, pick up another 50 pounds, and go down the hill. That, to me, is an unbelievable lesson in weight loss and weight gain. It's almost like, you know, a sighted person putting on a blindfold and being able to take it off afterwards. But nonetheless, the reality is there very clear. As a matter of fact, I was taking a couple of these large 40-pound bags of kitty litter, and I happened to pick them both up at the same time. So now we're talking 80 pounds, 40 on each arm, right? And, of course, I very shortly put one of those down. But again, even more so, more profound to me was, wow, that's a small child that I just picked up.
Yeah.
And there are people who are carrying around 1 and 2 and 3 extra adults.
Yeah.
And it's just astounding. But then there are also those who have gotten rid of.
Yes.
They have let go of. Terminology, how important are the words? I'm going to lose weight versus I'm going to get rid of.
Well, it's I have mixed feelings on that. I hear people phrasing things where it just rolls off their tongue and it sounds completely appropriate. I have a client that talks about releasing weight. And the way she says it, she believes it. She's living that paradigm. That's the way she talks, and that's it. I've also had people who clearly were told they should say something a different way, and the way they say it, it's clear they don't believe it, and they'd rather just say lose weight, because the concept of losing it is then you want to find it again. And you know, I mean, I'm really big on, again, with the mind-body connection and the words that we say, but I think more important than that is just get rid of it. Just lose it, release it. Go away with it, whatever you want to do. But work on doing that as opposed to just changing the way you're talking about it. You know, I mean, it's important the words that we choose, but it's also more important to just do it.
Don't get caught in the semantics.
Right.
Don't get caught in there. How important is it in supporting the person that you're with? If you're alone, you're with yourself, so you need to support yourself. But if you're with someone else, a partner, husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, you know, siblings for that matter, in terms of saying, look, you know, I want to support you in getting where you want to be,
right,
health-wise.
That's really one of the biggest challenges I've seen, not only with weight loss, but also in looking at alternative therapies. Because if you have a husband and a wife, and the wife's been diagnosed with breast cancer, and she wants to try something alternative, the husband, the kids, they have this, of course, fear of losing this person.
Mm.
And depending on how you were raised and what your belief system is, the doctor's right, period.
Yeah.
And I've seen a lot of, typically it's the husband that's more, just go to the doctor, and the wife that says, I'd like to do acupuncture. So I see a conflict starting there, and oftentimes, the wife gives in and does what the male in the household wants to have happen. As far as the weight loss goes, it's tough if one loses weight easily and quickly and the other one doesn't. There's a big frustration with that. And I've also seen a lot of spouses be very unsupportive because it's beneficial to them to keep the spouse heavy. Because if the spouse loses weight and starts to have their own life and starts to be self-confident and they want to go out, maybe they want to keep growing and the other spouse doesn't and they want to meet somebody. You know, there's that fear of loss if one person in a group, in that partnership, starts to change too drastically.
Yeah.
And that's where the support thing really becomes important and a challenge for a lot of couples and families.
And I can see, I'll put this out there, in that if someone is in that mindset as far as their mate and keeping that mate heavy, I will give you a scenario that you're not going to like. Keep them heavy.
Yeah.
They won't live as long.
Oh, yeah.
Their health is now at risk.
Right.
There's more strain on the heart.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even when I put on that extra 5 or 10 pounds and I would walk up and down State Street, I could feel it in my feet.
Yeah.
It wasn't the 50-pound bags of chicken feed or the 40-pound bags of cat litter.
Right.
It was just, you know, 5 or 10 extra pounds that was easy to come off because I would stop drinking the sodas or I would cut way back. I'd still have one every once in a while, okay? But, you know, your health is huge. I mean, if you, as the saying goes, if you don't have your health, or if you have your health, you have everything, something along those lines.
Right. And I try to keep that into perspective. This has been a challenging year for not only myself and my husband, but for so many people. It's been a year of financial challenges and personal challenges.
And that stress, doesn't that exacerbate the production of fat in the body, too? I mean, that's one aspect of it.
Well, what's interesting about stress is we all have felt it. We all try to avoid it. But I think we don't actually know what it is. And one of the definitions of stress is a threat, real or imagined.
Oh.
It's the imagined part that I think is so interesting. I mean, if you're walking through the jungle and a bear jumps out at you, you're going to be stressed for a moment. You're going to have that fight or flight response. Mm-hmm. Your adrenaline's going to kick in. The heart races. The lungs take more air. The brain function shuts down. Your digestion slows. You release your bowel and bladder. Makes you less tasty. Makes you run faster. And then after that stress has passed, you curl up and go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the stress response should be. Now, the problem now in this society is the stress is always at an 8 out of 10.
Yeah.
You know, we've got the IRS. We've got the boss. We've got the kid in doing bad in school. We've got the cat that's sick. We've got the bacon's on fire. We've got the car doesn't work.
We've got the threat of terrorism.
Okay.
I mean that's... Well, but
global,
that's
you're right.
But
on the global level.
On the global level. I mean, you start going up those levels.
Right.
Personal, community, state,
absolutely.
National, global. It just, again, 8, maybe even 9 for that matter.
Yeah, and it's constant, and we don't have that peak, that drop, and then the sleep. And what I find fascinating is I have clients who are very high stress. You know they've had a difficult time recently. They go on vacation. They come back from vacation. I say, oh, how was your trip? And they go, oh, great, but I was sick the whole time.
Gee, I wonder why.
How many people get sick on their second day of vacation?
Yeah.
And when I did this lecture last week, everyone started to smile and laugh. So I'm sure if you're listening to this, you might be doing the smiling, smiling nod of your head thing of, yeah, okay, that's happened to me. Because our body finally has time to go, ooh.
Yeah.
Now, with our stress level that high, we don't digest as well. Mm. Our bowel movements are not as normal. Just innately, we're going to hold on to more fat.
Yeah.
But they're also seeing a link between that cortisol production, which is one of the stress hormones, and belly fat.
Okay.
And the adipose fat, I believe that's what it's called, around the stomach tends to be where we hold a lot of toxins as well.
Uh-huh.
So the more body fat we have, the more toxins we're holding on to, the more likely we are to have multiple chemical sensitivities, food allergies, and cancer.
Oh, add to that, and this is what my wife has shared with me, added with that, and men are more prone to this than women, you also run the risk of a stroke. Because you have an artery that runs straight down the front of the belly, across the belt line, and down, and you're starting to pinch that off.
Right,
and so it's really phenomenal. And I have to say that you talk about the partner wanting to keep the other in a certain condition, and I have to say that when my wife went through, and I remember watching her as they backed her into the operating room for cancer. The look on her face was just, you know, I can still see it to this day.
Mm-hmm.
She was, I think she was more concerned about not coming back to me than she was about me not staying with her if she did come back. And it's like, where the heck am I going to go? I'm not leaving. I'm not going anywhere.
Right.
You know, we're going to see this through together. And we have 9 years later.
Yeah.
Man, what was so gratifying for me was that I found a friend in Phoenix at that time whose mother had the same thing.
Wow.
And at that time, so how long? How long? Oh, yeah, it's been 9-10 years now. And so I'm thinking, well, wonderful, you know?
And having that support system, and, you know, we have a great cancer center here in town. I know back in Pittsburgh, my dad's a huge supporter of the Cancer Caring Center. They have counseling. They provide wigs. They do makeup. They have Reiki sessions. They have therapeutic touch. They've got libraries. They've got, you know, family counseling, kid counseling. They got pet day where the, you know, the cancer patients can come. And I mean, finding a support system like that is so important to healing. You want to be around people who are going to be supportive. Now, the downside of that I've seen of some supportive environments is it's a bunch of people just kind of complaining about stuff.
Yeah.
And it becomes a negative complaining session.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a good environment to be in.
I know that she had a problem with that. And I was aware of it. And I said, I'd really rather that you not be around so-and-so because they're not a good influence.
Right.
They're not supporting you.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing nothing more than bringing the negative issues up. And you've been there already. You don't need to go there. I know that, you know, you want to be friends, but, you know, let's get you healthy first.
Yes.
So that you can then see this and so forth. And that was hard. that was even hard for me because, you know, I wanted to be supportive of her. I wanted her to have the people around her that she wanted.
Right.
But I also wanted to have people around her that would literally support her.
Right.
We need to create those networks, those support teams, no matter what our conditions are. And actually, we need those even when we're healthy.
Absolutely. And I see, I mean, we're almost sort of rewarded in the society for being sick and negative. And, you know, you're standing at a party and everyone's talking, oh, how are you? I'm doing great. Oh, how are you? Yeah. I'm doing fine. How are you? Okay. Who suddenly gets the attention? It's, oh, can I help you? What do you need? Can I do something?
Yeah.
And, you know, we
rescue,
all have
rescue,
all,
rescue.
Yes, rescue. Victim, victim, victim. Carolyn Mace calls that, you know, leading with your wounds. And we have this woundology bank account where we that's our currency.
Yeah.
It's I'm hurt. Oh, you're hurt too. Oh, great. We
hey,
have
let me
this.
Show you this scar over here.
Right. And I've met people who, you know, they're talking about stuff that happened 20, 30 years ago as if it's currently happening.
Yeah.
And, you know, live in the present. I mean, it's to work, you know, regret and dwell on the past and worry about the future. You're not going to find health in that.
Yeah. And that's why I'm glad we are where we are today. Matter of fact, we were just down in on Cabrillo at the wine festival.
Mm-hmm.
And we came from up on the hill. Now, accurate or not, the temperature on our car when we left was 96 degrees.
Ooh.
When we got down to the beach, it was 72.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going, okay, even if the thermometer wasn't right, I like the differential.
Yeah.
I'll take the
it's
mental.
It's clearly dropping.
Yes, yes, it is. And I'll be more than happy to put on a parka down there. It'll be fine.
Exactly.
But we're walking. And we're having a great time and we're walking and it's been so long since we've really done that on a bright, sunshiny day.
Yeah.
And there we are at the beach and the blue skies and the blue ocean. And so there we are in the here and the now, mm-hmm. in the moment. And it's just fabulous. It really is.
Yeah. And it's important to be surrounded by people that can support that. I mean, I remember having a friend who, no matter what good thing happened to me, she'd go, oh, I hate you. I'm kidding. Oh, I just got an A on my French test. Oh, I hate you. I'm kidding. And I started to realize, gosh, you know, you're not kidding.
Yeah.
And just like the spouse that's not supportive in wanting the partner to grow, I see a lot of people who want their friends to stay stuck. I mean, if you're a crack addict and you show up to the crack place where you get crack, I don't know where to get crack, and you say, hey guys, I decided I'm going to go straight. Aren't you happy for me? No, they're not happy for you. They want you to stay sick and unhealthy along with them.
Yeah.
So I encourage everybody to, you know, get around people who encourage growth and healing and being a positive in the present person, because that's going to help you grow.
And that's what the alternative medicine cabinet is really all about, is encouraging people by showing them and giving them ways. There was something I thought about before we go to break. You know what an old crone is, right?
Yes.
And it is not a pejorative term.
Right.
It is actually something that some people, I'm not sure if men can aspire to it or not. I know women can.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what the male equivalent of an old crone is.
I don't know.
But, you know, I see both you as well as my wife, Amrita, as wanting, as actually being there and actually living somewhere up on a hill in a cabin amidst the forest and the mist, and people come to you and they seek out your wisdom and your guidance and your cures, your poultices.
Mm-hmm.
I keep thinking of Granny from the Beverly Hillbilly, making her poultices and all those different things. But there's a lot to be said for those things.
I know. I've always said I want to live in a little hut with a bunch of cats, and people can come to me with a chicken, and I'll give them the right herbal formula. And, you know, but I don't see many ads for that in the paper. So I just do what I do in my little office on State Street.
There you go. Well, we're going to be back in just a moment. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. Don't go away.
Remember the stories your family used to tell?
July got married, 1913, when my father and my uncle came from Italy.
When was the last time you listened to the songs of your youth?
Very swinging sound here in the Bill Hart Underground. That's Wild Things.
Want to hear those voices and music again? Fast Forward can help. Fast Forward Audio Communications can transfer your records and tapes to CD so you can hear them again for the first time.
You're listening to a live transmission of the voice of astronaut Walter Chirac.
Those memories are priceless and are great to hand down to the next generation. Keep those memories alive. Call 805-708-9804.
That's the greatest thing that I ever heard.
Fast Forward. It's the right direction for preserving your family memories. Just call 805-708-9804.
Feature this, a A cowboy with a hat, jeans, and cowboy boots walking along Vista Del Monte's beautifully tree-lined campus parkway. Hi, I'm Janice Smith, Director of Admissions at Vista Del Monte Retirement Community. George Goodall, tell me, where are you headed dressed like that?
Well, I live at Vista, but I'm still very independent and continue tending my avocado orchard.
In addition, you are president of our Residents Association, sing with Vista Voices, and enjoy our many Vista trips.
Because of the services at Vista, I don't have to clean or cook anymore. I don't have to do the plumbing or fix the roof. So it leaves me time to continue writing our family genealogy and continue leadership in our local church.
Well, seems like George's retirement at Vista is fun and exciting. And you too can lead this lifestyle by calling 687-0793. That's 687-0793.
Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices here with Kathy Groover, author of the Alternative Medicine Cabinet. I'm surprised it wasn't like the Alternative Medicine Bottle, but I like the cabinet because you can put lots of stuff in there. Hundreds of ways to take charge of your health naturally. And it's interesting. I joke with people. I say, you know, when I die, first of all, they're going to be peeling me off of a console because that's where I will die. Okay, they'll be that would be fine. And then I'm to be buried vertically like a fence post. Mm-hmm. And I don't need a box. Just, you know, boom, 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 and it's fine. Or cremated is the preferable. And I remember hearing about one guy who did that, and actually, in his will, he was to be taken around the world.
Mm.
And so somebody took little tablespoons,
mm-hmm,
in little bags and went around the world and distributed him. And nice. I'm saying, I want to be shot off into the sun.
Hey, there you go. Can you do that now?
I don't know why not. They've got a I only heard just the other day there's a satellite orbiting the sun. I did not know this.
I
digress.
I can't. Let
me ask you. I can't either. What? Of all of the things that you do,
mm-hmm,
why this? Why now?
It's time. I mean, it's not only time in my own life as I've developed from making a change from actor to the health profession, and I'm seeing that both my histories are coming together, and it's a melding of the performing and the healing.
Mm-hmm.
So the public speaking is a really important thing to me right now. And the book, I don't know, I mean, just I have so many clients questioning things, and I see such dismay with Western medicine and people so frustrated with the system of you have 7 minutes with a guy who hands you a prescription and then never sees you again. You know, there's a lot of dissatisfaction with that.
Yeah.
And so I thought, you know, if I can take what I've been learning and share it with a lot of people, and if one person makes one change and gets healthy, that's satisfying to me. I mean, that's what I want to do. I want to educate, and I want to make people laugh along the way and just share this knowledge.
Well, we thank you for doing both of those here.
You're welcome.
And sharing your time and your story with us and your book, The Alternative Medicine Cabinet, Hundreds of Ways to Take Charge of Your Health Naturally. Kathy Groover, MS, LMT, RN, HNC, also a doctorate in traditional naturopathy. And we'll have you back again soon, I hope.
That sounds great. Thanks, Richard.
You bet. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Until next Saturday at 3 p.m. Pacific time and on the internet at richarddugan.com, where we stream live. Love to all.